So we were off for a week between Christmas and New Year's, and it was a good time. It was a time of relaxing a bit, as much as you can relax with three little kids in your house and a baby screaming. And it's this time of the year when you're stuck at home in minus 30 that you ask yourself these questions. It's New Year, right? And what am I doing with my life? And it's good questions to ask now and again as to what are we doing with our lives, right? So New Year, new plans. And a lot of us would think about what are we doing just because it's a new calendar year. And we would consider, let me just try it. We would consider maybe changing some habits or getting into an exercise program. I love it how many people want to get fit in January. But I'm not one of them. And we have thoughts about maybe we should change this in our life. Maybe we should change that. And we start planning out. But instead of new plans, I want to say new grace. And if anything this year, what I've learned is that our plans and our ideas and our good thoughts are not always working out the way we would love it. And we need God's grace, new every morning, to just help us keep going and show us what we need to be doing. So new grace is my prayer. 2021, it was quite a crazy year. I know for us, for me personally, been stretched and had challenges with kids and work and life and church. And I know for Leonard and Laurie, they came to us and they said, we feel a call to help this church in Mwanza, the Petra Church. And this came out of the pastor who just planted the church, him and his wife passed away with left her husband and the little kids. And it looks like they're having fun. Every time we see a video of Len and Laurie, they're smiling and they're having a coffee or something. But it's not as smooth sailing as we would hope and think. Traveling in Africa during COVID, those things really can get us worked up and get us anxious. So I know they've been stretched. I know they don't just leave this place lightly and go to another place. And then Russell and Helen's been asked to step up and to take care of us, right? And I know that's not an easy job. If I look at all these people, that's...
It's you.
It's mostly me. They've been stretched, Brad and Jen. I know you guys know Eric and Candace's story, and if you don't know it, go and chat with them. They've been stretched. They've joined us, they started ministering and preaching and loving and inviting people in the home. They've been stretched. So there are many things we were hoping for, praying for, asking God for, making a petition for that came through, right? Who prayed for something and it came through this year? 2021, I love it. My one big prayer was I just wanted to take a boat on the lake with my son. And we did that. We were there at the Shuswap and we just had a boat for 4 hours and pretended like we own the place. And then there's a lot of things that we prayed for and hoped for and dreamed about that did not come through in 2021. And if that's you, you're in good company. It's okay. Anybody here who feels like 2021 was a total disaster? Tough. That's good. Because there's always something, if you still have breath in your life, there's always something that can come and help. So I want to read out of Hebrews 11 today. And if you open up your Bibles, we're going to read from verse 1. And I'll explain a bit more about the company we are in. If you don't have it all figured out, if you haven't seen God's promises fully fulfilled, if you haven't seen everything glorious in front of you, let's see what God says about that. So Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. And by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. That's incredible. And by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. And God commended him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. And by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you for scriptures that has been kept and saved and that has been translated and that we can read today, we can eat today, and it can fill us up. I thank you that you are speaking today as much as ever. We can hear you and we can trust you, Jesus. So I pray that you would open our hearts, you would use my mouth, and I pray that you will be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. So what we see in the book of Hebrews is this writer, he is giving us quite a substantial argument of who Jesus is and how much more stronger, amazing, greater he is than anything before him, any angel, any human, anybody walking on this earth. And more than that, he is the way to get to our Father. We are separated, we are sinful, we are messed up, but there's a new kingdom that came in with Jesus Christ, and he has invited us to be part of this kingdom. And now when we get to chapter 11, he's explaining to us a bit more now. Now that you have this good news, you understand who Jesus is, what he's done, and what we are able to do. How do we not mess this up? And he's giving us a bit of an encouragement, a bit of a charge to say, look at these guys. And he goes through a list of the patriarchs of the faith, people who just believed God, the fathers of the faith. And some guys would call it, this is God's Hall of Fame. And he puts it up, these names in the book of Hebrews, and he says, look at these guys. Look at Abraham. Look at Enoch. And he says, do you know what they did? They had faith. They believed me. How do we not miss what God has in store for us in this life? We look at these guys and we follow in their footsteps. We're going to trust what God is saying. So we're going to look at the first thing, verse 3. And we got to hear the word of God. So in verse 3 it says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. And I find it funny how he explains it. We just understand it because we believe that God made it by his word. That's how we understand it. Do you guys understand it? It's as simple as that. And when we have faith like a child and we believe the word of God that says, I made everything that is visible by my word that is invisible, it is settled then, right? It is not something our human brains could work out. I'm just telling you that because I've read a lot of books about creation and about science, and a lot of the times they get to the point where we can explain it up to a point, and then it's just, well, something happened, something. Because all of these things that were here is time-based and it's decaying. So what happened if we go far enough back before it was here? Well, God is, I am, and he spoke. And what happened? All of a sudden, there was light. He spoke, and all of a sudden, there was life in plants, in creatures, life and breath in my lungs. Do you grasp the power of the Word of God today? It's just the thing that made everything, right? And when God speaks to his people, there's a word that goes out. Man, we should hear it. We've got one job here to do, guys. Listen to what the Word of God is saying. In the Bible, it's a book of promises. Can anybody guess how many promises roughly are there in the Bible? Russell, how many you think? 2,000. There's about 8,000. And some would even go bigger and say 30,000. It's a bit open to interpretation, as you know. But let's call it 8,000 is what one guy counted, one theologian. And about 7,800 of those promises is God promising things to his children. Awesome. It's not necessarily all amazing and good, because he also sometimes says that if you keep on doing this, you'll end up in hell. But there is a lot of good promises in the Word of God that you guys know. We hear the Word of God by reading the Bible. We hear the Word of God by spending time with our friends who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who preach, who are convicted, who share a testimony, who are just alive with what God is saying and doing. We hear the Word of God when we sit down in prayer and we say, God, what do you want to say to me today? Speak to me. A few years ago, I was reading a good book about what does God know about business, and it's a South African guy who wrote it. And I never knew it, but he lived down the street from where I grew up. And he started the whole audio business for ear implants in South Africa. And he led this business by with God, by the grace of God. And he said every morning he would get up and he would open up his Bible and he would pray. The first thing, you acknowledge God. And then you ask God, what do you want to say to me today? And then he starts reading the Bible. And maybe I've heard this 100 times before I read the book, but it just became tangible to me when I read this and I knew the guy and I saw the business he built, and it felt like, okay, we should ask God, what does he want to speak to us before we just plunge into the Bible? God is speaking through his prophets, through his people, through his word, and he has a word for you. Do you believe that today? That the same word that made everything we know and see and touch and feel and measure, that man, that God, also has a personal word for you. And that should change everything. If we think about Mary, the angel came to her and he said, Mary, you will have a son. You will call him Jesus. And Mary said, I am your faithful servant. Let it be so. And she added that God's word never fails. This sounds crazy. This sounds like I could get in real trouble. This sounds like my husband may leave me. This sounds like, whew, too much to bear. But God's word never fails. I love that. Brad shared that 2 weeks ago when he preached about Christmas. Romans 10, verse 17, it says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of God. That's right. We can hear the word of God. It's something we can practice. It's something we can do. And who's shredding this year? Can I see any hands? We've got friends who are encouraging us to read through the Bible in 30 days. You start on the 1st of January, you end on the 31st. And I will confess, I haven't done it. But there are habits, there are reading plans, there are many things we can do to delve into the Word, to prioritize it, and to get going. God gives us promises through His Word. And God wants to give us a promise through His Word. And when that happens, all of a sudden it starts carrying us. It changes the way we see things. It changes our hearts. Things happen. And if you think about Abraham, who is mentioned in Hebrews 11, Abraham means exalted father. And God said, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. I know you're 90 something years old and your wife could never have children, but I'm going to give you a son and change your name from not Exalted Father, but to Father of Nations, Father of Many. It was quite ironic. I didn't realize that Abram just meant Exalted Father. It already said Father. And how must he have felt his whole life living with no children? Hey, I'm Father. I'm the honored Father, Exalted Father. Nice to meet you. Where's your kids? Well, I don't have any. And as a final test, I almost feel God says, now your name is not Abram anymore. It's Father of Nations. So now go and introduce yourself to your family, to your friends. See, I am the Father of Nations. And what did Abraham did with the word God gave him? He believed the word God gave him. Which brings me to verse 6 and my next point. If we read verse 6 there, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists. Oh, man. It's very simple. Do you agree with me? It is very simple. And I can explain this to my 5-year-old, 6-year-old son, and he would shake his head. And when I think, it's not as easy when God says, you will be the Father of Nations. And the word says here, I'm going to read it because I thought it was funny, that Abraham was as good as dead when God told him he's going to have a son. And that's the Bible. I didn't make it up. In verse 12, therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. He believed the word of God. I don't know what it means in these words that Abram was as good as dead. He may have been lying there on his back, just sipping through a straw. That to me is as good as dead. And God spoke, and he got up. We know that he even later went up the mountain to offer up Isaac, his promised son. Enabled to believe the word God gives us, I want to give you one step before you get there. And you need to believe that God exists. And here's the challenge. Has anybody here seen God? Please raise your hand. Anybody seen God? I haven't seen God either. And the word even says no one can see God and live. So I probably don't want to see God right now. I want to still have my family and raise them up. But I can see the kingdom of God. I can see God's grace over my life. I can see God's love for people that I could never love, and how he extends his grace and his patience and his kindness. And I could see God's love to me and how he's patient with me. And I can feel his spirit moving in this place when we're sitting there. And when I hear testimonies of peace, as Les was sharing this morning in the prayer meeting, just peace, just breathe it in. And as Nicole was asking her sons, what is God's word for today? And Simon says that we shouldn't be afraid. God is with you. And I'll get to that where Moses says that. And all of a sudden, I feel God is here. God is speaking, and we can believe that God exists. That's step one. Just like we cannot see God, we know he's with us. And the thing with the word that God gives us, a promise, is we need faith for it. But we cannot have faith if we already see it. And Abraham did not have a son. That's why he needed faith. And he said, God, I believe you that I'm going to have a son. I'm going to have a son. You spoke and I believe. I cannot have faith for a son because my son is just in the back room making trouble. I can have faith for other things that God is speaking. I can have faith for what God says about my career, what God says about my ministry, what God says about this church and what we will do. And that's one of the biggest battles, one of the biggest tensions in my life. I was preaching last night to Yolani and saying a lot, going through the preach and telling her this is my thoughts. And at the end, she's like, that's not very personal, is it? And I'm like, okay, you're right, wife. I struggle sometimes to put my heart out on a plate in front of you. But I will add some personal heart things. I can. I'm just a bit nervous I'll lose it and then you'll watch me cry for a few minutes. But you've seen me cried enough. But when God speaks about our future and about our career and about our plans for me and for Russell and for this church and for Leonard and for Jeremy and for Justin, man, we gotta believe that he's gonna move. And there's a tension because what we see right now is not what God has said will happen. Because you can't have faith for something that you already can see. And in my mind, it's like a sailboat, and there's a sail, there's a mast, and I want to say that's a present. And then there's a sail with a rope that can be tensioned and tightened up to stretch out the sail. And the rope that we tension up is the word of God that is saying, this is where you will be. This is what's going to happen. And as the sail tensions up, all of a sudden, there's an area. And as the Spirit moves and as the wind blows, we can start moving with this boat. But if all we say is, well, word of God, I've got a mast, that's good enough. I'm in my boat and this rope is just hanging loosely, flopsy around. And then the wind comes and the Spirit blows. And what's happening? This boat is just rocking in the waves. It's not going anywhere. But there's a tension. Do you feel the tension of what God's promises is over your life and where you are right now? I know you do, because I speak to you guys. And that's okay. And I think Abraham, the father of nations, had tension in his heart for some times as he's saying, God, you said, you even called me a father for 80, 90 years. I have not had children, but I trust that this will pass. As we place our trust in him, and if we believe it, we are rewarded. To get closer to God, to draw near to God, we have to believe there is a God. He exists. And to actually believe the words of God, we have to believe that there is a God. But when we do, and we exercise our faith, that's when God is so pleased. That's when we are satisfied in who God is and in what he said. That's when God honors us, just like he honored these patriarchs in Hebrews 11. God honors our faith. Do you believe it? That's what chapter 11 is all about. God honors these people who trusted what he said. I was thinking, when he speaks, our behaviors change. If we really want to know if you believe the word of God, it means something in us will change and there will be a manifestation of that belief. And if he says, I will provide, we will stop stressing about what we will eat and what we will drink and what we will wear, because God spoke. And Noah, God said to him, build an ark because there's a flood coming. And what did he do? Against all resistance and mockery and insanity, something that has never been seen before, there's no ocean, buddy. What is wrong with you? He said, well, God spoke and I believed, and that's why I'm building an ark. Do you think God spoke more words like that to other people in that time? Do you think God's word went out to say, stop doing what you're doing, save yourself? I don't know, but I would venture a guess that God may have spoken to other people. They just didn't hear it or believed it. But Noah stopped what he was doing, and he trusted the word of God. Our behaviors will change. And now what? Once we believe that word, verse 13 says, we will hold on to it till the very end. Now I'm going to read verse 13. It's not a happy ending. Brace yourself. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. Wow, Herman, that's a way to bring in the last point of the preach. The hard reality is we will not see the fullness of God's promises in this life and on this earth. And the sooner we acknowledge that and that gets settled in our hearts, the better for us. Just like these guys who saw in part, we will see a shadow of the things that's coming, right? Moses saw the promised land from afar. Abraham saw his son, but he did not see the nations. He did not see Jesus. He did not see the triumphal victory of Jesus over the enemy. But he kept his faith till the very end. I'm going to let that go. And in the West, we often get a bit surprised, and I'm included, I live in the West, when pain and suffering and hardship comes to us. And often it's almost worse for us that it is happening to me than what is happening to me. And we need to read Hebrews 11 when that happens, and we need to say, these people did not fully see the promises of God in their lifetime. But we're going to hold on to that word in faith till the very end. And that is what God says is true faith, that you will believe till the very end, till you not see it. Now, what's interesting at the end, which we'll read, is how God explains that these guys could not get their reward yet, not apart from me and you. The real reward one day is being with us. And Abraham is waiting for us to get our act together, preach the word of God, stop the nonsense that we're doing, and get to heaven one day and glorify God together with him. And then he will see the fullness of the nation God gave him. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're part of his promise, man. Don't mess it up. By faith, Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac. Even after God promised him he's going to be the father of nations. And by faith, Joseph asked his bones to be buried in the promised land because he trusted that one day they will leave Egypt and they go back to the land God showed them. And by faith, Moses left Egypt. And here's the word, Nicole. He was not fearing Pharaoh's anger. Moses left the whole nation of Egypt and that king with his mighty army. And he did not fear Pharaoh's anger because God is with him. And God said, go. And by faith, he walked on dry land through the Red Sea. Some of us have a big Red Sea in front of us. And we're saying, how are we going to get through this? Build me a bridge, God. And God says, what about if I just blow up the water and make you a path, dry land, so that you could walk straight through it? By faith, David waited on God to be finally crowned the king. He did not take the kingdom by force when he had the opportunities. And by faith, Daniel went into the lion's den, and he trusted that God will save him, and he shut the mouths of lions. Faith anticipates the future. It acts in the present. It evaluates the past, and it persists till the end. That's Hugh Hill. He says, faith It anticipates the future, acts in the present, evaluates the past, and persists till the end. I'm going to read verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, destitute, afflicted, mistreated. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with a sword, and they went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated, of whom this world was not worthy, wandering around in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. I want to end on a good note, that we see glimpses of what's to come and of God's promises. We see a shadow of what God is doing. And I need to share, last week I was on worship and singing, and I just knew that Country was going to share a bit of his testimony, and Russell was talking about these things. And as I was singing this song, God just gave me a taste of his love for Country and for his people. And as I was singing here, I told Country, man, I've got a special song for you. And I'm standing here and I'm singing that God will leave the 99 to go after the one. And even though the song was for Country, it's talking about me and me wandering off and God finding me again. And I'm seeing there standing at the back, and he's just worshiping and he's crying, and it's like, okay, I've done enough. I sang the song. I just left my band and I went to say, Country, hey man, what a privilege it is to do life with you. And we just hugged. And we have two men in the back of the church hugging and crying. And it was the sweetest time to just give God the glory for saving me and bringing me to this church and saving Country and bringing him to this church. And this week I went to Dave and Candace's house, and I was standing there with Dave in his garage, and we were talking about business and jobs and just engineering. And God reminds me of the journey we get with people for a little while. And Dave can look me in the eye, and I can look him in the eye, and there's tears coming out of our faces and say, man, I loved working with you at the company we were at 5 years. It was good. It was precious. It was a moment. And those moments God gives us are what keeps us going and holding on to the faith till the very end. I want the band to come, please, and we will conclude. The title of the sermon, if you haven't written it down yet, it's Journey of Faith. And we are on a journey of faith, and our destination will not be reached in this lifetime. And that's okay. So does anybody here have a dream, have a word, have a promise that has not come to pass yet? I do. You are in good company. And do not let the enemy come and bring doubt and deception and steal that word and hinder that word and put a damper on that word. What we are going to do with that word, we're going to believe it, and we're going to place it in front of God every day, and we're going to say, God, show me, prepare my present. Give me that tension so that I could catch the wind as it comes. So I ask you today, hear the word of God, believe that it is true, and hold on to it for dear life till the end. Zephaniah 3:17, it says, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness, and he will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing."